My sermon text today is the gospel lesson found in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, and I invite you to turn there with me as I read this portion. In most of our Bibles, it's 1,604, the Pew Bibles, and I'll read this portion in Jesus' name. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to understand and believe these words. Lord, help us also to be warned of pride and the sin of self-righteousness. Lord, help us to look to Jesus and trust in him and in him alone for our salvation and our confidence before a holy God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I look at this passage, in some of our Pew Bibles, it says for the title here, "Jesus Anointed by a Sinful Woman." And that is true. But as we go through and look at all the details here, we see a comparison of two sinners. In some ways, they're alike, and in one way especially, they're different. And we'll look at those as we go through this passage of Scripture. Maybe you've wondered as you've been reading through the Gospels why Jesus was so compassionate with some people, and with other people, he was very harsh. With the moneylenders in the temple, remember, he was overthrowing the table. Tables. Said that my house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations. And with other people caught in sin, people accusing them, ready in one case to stone a woman to death, he was merciful. And he said to the crowd, "The one who is without sin can cast the first stone." And by one they realized, probably not me. And they snuck away this way, that way. Pretty soon she was all alone. He said, "Woman, who condemns you?" "No one. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Sometimes Jesus seemed harsh. Sometimes he seemed very tender. What's the difference? We see in this passage here, and I believe Jesus explains for us the difference in the responses of people and the need of that person and how he responded to those people. We see in this passage that both the Pharisee and this woman, both of them wanted to be with Jesus. Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house, and he went. He accepted that invitation. but when a rabbi was teaching, other people would be allowed to be present to hear him teach. So even though this woman was not invited, she came. She showed humility. She cried and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair, poured perfume on his feet. And all the while, in Simon's, in the Pharisee's mind, he was thinking some things. This isn't right. Jesus doesn't understand what is going on and who this is. The Pharisee was right about some of what he said, that this woman was a sinful woman, but he didn't understand about Jesus. And he didn't understand that forgiveness that Jesus was willing to do. Why did the Pharisee invite Jesus? Possibly to trap him? Or possibly because he was truly seeking. He wanted to hear and be with Jesus, hear from Jesus and be with him. We see with the woman, she was aware of her sin. She knew that she was a sinner. Have you had discussions with people before? And some people have an idea, I'm too great a sinner, God could never forgive me. You know, that kind of person is easier to deal with and easier to explain the gospel to. Because some other people say, well, you know, I might have sinned once in a while, but I'm not really that bad. And they need to hear the law to show them they're worse than they ever imagined. Is that easy to do? Maybe for some people. It's like, oh, let me tell you all your faults. Let me tell you. It's better to have someone show faults, show sin, who's first of all broken over their own sin. So they're not looking down on that person. They're not looking down at a person and saying, well, I would never do the sins that you've done. But a person broken over his or her sin, saying, I too, by nature, am a sinner. I too need salvation and forgiveness. And saying, let me tell you where I found that salvation and forgiveness. Both wanted to be with Jesus. They saw different needs in themselves. We also see that as the questioning went on, that both owed a debt. Both owed a debt. Jesus knew both of these people. Remember, the Pharisee is sitting there thinking, if he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this was. And guess what? He was right about this. Jesus is a prophet, and he knew about the woman. But notice the Pharisee is looking at Jesus, looking down at Jesus. He's also looking down at this woman thinking, oh, she's a sinner. And Jesus wouldn't want to associate himself with sinners. So what does that tell about himself? I'm not like her. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a good person. I'm a religious person. If anyone was religious and righteous by their good works, he could look at himself and say, look, I'm a Pharisee. I'm better than all of you. But what was his problem? He didn't see his own sin. Or if he saw his sin, he didn't see how deeply it affected everything, even the best efforts he was making, tainted by sin. A good deed is not a good deed if we do it in order to earn God's favor. Oh, God will look at this thing that I just did. Or look at, I put more in the offering than anyone else. God's going to notice that one. And people count their little points and put little tick marks, thinking, sure hoping I'm balancing heavier on the good side than the sin side. But the problem is we never do enough on the good side, and even our best is tainted by sin. And the problem also is to have the picture of a balance that God will just say, oh, this person's done more good than evil. It doesn't deal with the evil that we have in us by nature, but also that we commit in our thoughts, in what we say, and what we do. Jesus knew both of them. He knew the sin of both. He knew their hearts. But each of these perceived their debts to a holy God in a different way. Think about David and Nathan earlier in the reading from the Old Testament. How David was involved in immorality. David was involved in murder to cover up his sin. And he didn't repent of it. And time went on. Finally, God sent Nathan the prophet to tell a story. It was a story that got David emotionally connected because he was a shepherd for many years of his life. There's a man who had one ewe lamb. It was like a daughter to him. And King David, oh. And then this rich man took the ewe lamb from him to serve for his company. And David's emotions were tied up in that story. Then here's where the law comes in on the part of Nathan. David, you're the man. What was David's response? I have sinned against the Lord. And then Nathan responded, the Lord has forgiven you your sins. There's a confession of sin before God, and there was that word of absolution. Your sins are forgiven. And always pointing forward to the coming Messiah and what he would do for us. Sin is forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. Trust in his finished work on the cross on our behalf. The Pharisee didn't see his need. He didn't see his need for a Savior because he was such a good person, according to him. But the woman, her guilt drove her to Christ. Did anyone need to say, oh, woman, by the way, you're a sinner? She knew that. She knew that. But she was broken over her sin. And in her desperation, when there was nowhere else to look, she looked to Jesus. She looked to Jesus. Sometimes we can be raised in a Christian family, in a Christian home. And you know, we can look really good on the outside. Someone could look at us and say, what a good person, what a religious person. And sometimes that's used in a very good way. It's meant in a good way by people. Some people have a high opinion of other people based on their outward goodness. But inwardly, there can be rebellion. Inwardly, there can be unbelief. Inwardly, we can say, God, I will not submit to your will. I will not trust in your Son. I'll do it my way. But Jesus deals with the heart. He knows even our motives and our thoughts. He knows everything that we've said, everything that we've done. And for those who have not repented of their sins, that should be frightening to know that God knows everything. Everything you've done. Even the things that you may have kept hidden from other people. But for this woman broken over her sin, realizing that she was a sinner, realizing she had need of forgiveness, she came to Jesus and received that forgiveness. Had that most important need of her life met. Both the Pharisee and the woman wanted to be with Jesus. They both owed a debt, and Jesus explained that. We also see that they both demonstrated their attitude by their actions. Again, what they did on the outside was a fruit of what was in their heart and mind, what they believed. And we can see actions. We can't see a person's heart. We can only know about the inside when people say to us, confess to us. But there's also evidence in their behavior, in their actions. And we see that here. We see for the Pharisee, we see pride. His actions demonstrated the pride of his heart. He looked down on that woman in verse 39. He also looked down on Jesus. If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this was. And the assumption is, if this man was a prophet, he would know, but he's not a prophet, is the assumption here. Because if he was, he would have this woman far from him because she's sinful. But the Pharisee, we also see here, he failed to show common courtesy. Jesus was showing him his failure. You didn't anoint my head. He didn't greet me with a kiss, as is common in some cultures. And here, this woman has washed my feet with her tears, has wiped my feet with her hair, and has anointed me with oil. This woman repented of her sins, and that inward repentance showed itself in her outward behavior. She repented over her sins. She demonstrated her gratitude toward Jesus. Imagine crying in front of other people. Sometimes that's hard for some of us to do. Imagine being by someone's feet and crying on that person's feet. Kind of even more embarrassing. And then wiping those tears with your hair. Not even looking for a towel, but using your own hair. And people that are brought to the end of themselves, they stop looking around and saying, what are people going to think of me? One of my friends in the Army, we had some interesting discussions about the Lord and about salvation. One of his biggest concerns is, what will people think of me if I become a Christian? And my response was, who cares? Who cares? To be forgiven, to be part of God's family, you will have people laughing and mocking and making fun of you. There might be embarrassment. There might be ridicule in some cases. But Jesus said, if we do that for his name's sake, we can rejoice in that. Not a normal thing we'd rejoice in, but for Jesus' sake, it's something to celebrate. We also see, as we compare and contrast these two people, both wanted to be with Jesus, both owed a debt. Both demonstrated their attitude by their actions, pride or humility. But only one received forgiveness and could depart in peace. He said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And remember, people got so upset when Jesus said that because who is Jesus to be forgiving sins? Only God can forgive sins. That's right. That's the connection. And some people, when they put the two and two together, you're saying that Jesus is God? Exactly right. That's what he said about himself. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And the Jewish people picked up rocks to stone him to death because they thought he was committing blasphemy. He was saying that he himself is God. When he called himself the Son of God, the Jewish people were offended, except for the ones who believed the truth that he is the very Son of God, that he is God incarnate. He said to that woman, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. What did she have to do for that? It was a gift. It was a gift. She was broken over her sin. She recognized her need for forgiveness and the need for a Savior. Because the Holy Spirit was working in her heart and preparing her for that point. And Jesus said, your faith has saved you. And notice, it's the faith, it's not the works that she did. What she did showed what was on the inside. That's some of the evidence that's visible to other people. But he said, your faith has saved you. Jesus taught justification by faith in him. In each of the Gospels, we see that. Jesus never taught, you have to be good enough, you have to keep the Ten Commandments enough, and maybe you'll get into heaven. That's not what he taught. He told people that he is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets to heaven except through him. Offensive to many people, I know. But to those who are broken over their sin, it's the assurance that our sins are forgiven, that he has done that in our place. He said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. When Jesus was talking about the debts, he asked Simon and kind of led Simon in this progression. If two people owed a moneylender debts, one was a great debt, one was a small debt, and he forgave them both, who would be more grateful? He said, I suppose the one that owed more. And Jesus applied that to that situation. Both were sinners. The woman recognized the greatness of her sin and the greatness of her need for forgiveness. And the Pharisee thought, you know, I've sinned a little bit, but I'm sure not as bad as everyone else. And that was demonstrated in his even lack of common courtesy to Jesus. And his looking down on not only the woman, but also looking down on Jesus. Thinking in his mind, surely this is not a prophet, because he would have known what kind of woman she is. And I love the response there. Jesus answered him. He was thinking something. And the text says, Jesus answered him. Because Jesus knew even what he was thinking. He was aware. And Jesus explained and used a word picture, a story to illustrate something, just like Nathan did for David. And as they got caught up in that story, as they realized the parallel and then the application, for David it was, you are that man. You are that man that deserves death because of your sins. But David heard, but your sins are forgiven. God has forgiven you. The woman heard, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And again, when the scriptures talk about peace, it's not just a feeling in our heart that comes and goes. Oh, it's sunny out. I get to go to the beach. I feel peaceful. That's not the kind of peace it is. It's a restored relationship with our Creator. Go in peace. That broken relationship is made right because of what Jesus has done. Some people see themselves as good people. I don't need salvation because I'm pretty good. I'm better than my neighbors, better than a lot of my family members or coworkers. And you hear the pride there, the looking down on others. Well, I'm not a sinner like that person over there. But a person truly broken over his or her sin isn't looking down on other people in their sin, but is concerned about their own, seeking forgiveness. And once they receive that forgiveness, there's that concern about other people, not in the sense of, I'm so glad I'm so much better than you are, but in the sense of, I want other people to enjoy and know that forgiveness, that peace with God. Our evangelism is an outreach, an overflow of that restored relationship with God, that peace with God, that assurance that our sins are truly forgiven. You might deal with people that think, I've sinned too much. God could never forgive me. And we can point to people at the complete sacrifice that Jesus made before he died. He said, it is finished, which means the debt is paid in full. And we can say that means your debt and mine. Your sin, as great as it is, has been paid for by Jesus Christ. We can encourage them, trust in Jesus, turn from sin, trust in Christ, and receive that forgiveness. There are other people that need the law. And I know it's uncomfortable, but sometimes we need to deal firmly with people and bring up the Ten Commandments, for example. That's how Jesus dealt with the rich young ruler who said, I've kept the commandments since my youth. And then Jesus brought him back to the first commandment. Because when you break the other nine commandments, you're really breaking the first in all its fullness. And Jesus said, sell your wealth, give the money to the poor. And again, some people would say that would be the application for all of us. But Jesus knew the need of this person. And he was showing him that in fact, not only did he not keep the other nine commandments, he was breaking the first and most important one. You shall have no other gods before me, God says. We use the law to bring conviction of sin. And the Holy Spirit will use that word of law to bring conviction. And when there is that conviction, then we go on to share the good news of Jesus. That Jesus' penalty, his suffering on the cross, was for you and it was for me. And we can receive that by faith. We can enjoy that and have that certainty. Jesus paid for all sin. Please understand, I'm not saying that everyone has already received that gift of forgiveness. That's not the case. But we have good news to proclaim to people that are broken over their sin, that their sin has been paid for. It has been atoned for. The sacrifice has been made to satisfy the holy wrath of God. Jesus paid for all sin. For those who trust in Christ today, I can take Jesus' words and apply them to each one of us who are trusting in Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen.